Yeah, it's 57. Anybody there? The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in their uprightness. That's the true believers that he's talking about here. Then he says, but draw near here, hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Now that's about as bad a birth as you can have. You're the seed of the adulterer and the whore. And that's the prophecy of what happened when Christ was crucified. One died for all and we're all dead. We studied that extensively the last few days. And so there is no more Adam. Jesus Christ was the last member of the Adamic race. Which was hard for us to see. Then who's our mother and father? Well, let's continue. And again, whom do you sport yourself against? Whom make you a wide mouth, draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, the seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks? And what are those? Well, how do we do that? Because we teach them the heresies that we all grew up with. That's also what it means to pass your children through fire. Everybody understand this a little bit? Any rejection of it or questions? Or? All right, well, we'll go on. Among this, see, we can't believe this stuff about ourselves. That's why it's so difficult. We can't see from God's eyes, so we see from our own. All we do is want more, more, more. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Now the smooth stones of the rocks in the streams are the ones that are carried downstream. They can't stay in one place. So they're continually carried downstream. Was that clear? So you find a new thing. You get a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, a new job. But you're constantly going downstream. There's no life. And then this is the biggie. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer the sacrifices. And this is why we talk about the midnight hour. You start thinking, and I'm not pointing at anybody for this in particular, it may seem like I am, but you even have great idea folders instead of faith. Is this starting to gel a little bit about why it's so critical that we see the cross? Behind the doors also, and the post, thou hast set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them, and lovest their bed where thou swastika. Now, what is all that about? It's what we, you know, we've talked about it a million times over the years. I've always said a million times, don't exaggerate. But anyway, you understand? There's something that I've noticed that I haven't ever seen before of this many. There's constant ads on television for mattresses that are going to let you sleep, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's this bed that you offer yourself up on is becoming more and more fancy.
You should see the prices, too. They're like six times if we went up. Just like a couple decades ago, it was thousands for mattresses there. And they're all fancy.
Now, what is this? What is this bed thing? What's going on here? Instead of praying when you go to bed, you're thinking up new things to satisfy the never-ending lust. And thou wentest to the king. And again, this king is not Melech, which is the true king. It's Molech. Everybody remember who Molech is? The false god. And thou wentest to the king with thy ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and sendest thy messengers afar off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Is that connecting to anybody? Not only are there incredible sexual fantasies, now there are fantasies about what you can do if you do that. How you can do it so you can do it better, so you can get more of that. It's never ending. That's why the scriptures are so clear. It says, except you be converted and become as this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to lose the sense of self-awareness. No more self. No more for me and mine. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. Yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. This goes on and on and on throughout a whole lifetime. Think up more stuff. Send your messengers afar off. And then debase thyself even unto hell. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you sayest not, there is no hope. For again, you found the life of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved. So God is, by His Spirit, is constantly showing you the ridiculousness of the world system. We get wearied in the greatness of our way. But then, aha! A new aha moment. Now you've got another way to get it. Another idea. Another contact. I'm sure I could figure out somebody not to get them, but then I couldn't get mad every day when I looked in the computer. But I'm getting all these computers from people I knew a jillion years ago that they want me to be on their list for this reason or that. But it's all to get stuff. Why would anybody that knows me very well would never think that they should send me that kind of thing? But I got one from Gus.
Oh, yeah. Gus sent me one. To join him on Alignable. Anyway.
But it's, again, it's this culture that's massive. It's everywhere. We can't, we're in the water, but we can't see it's the water. Because we always get in our heads, I don't want to go there anymore. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied, and not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Haven't I held my peace, even of old? And thou still fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let the companies, or your advisors and the jillion ideas of themselves, let the companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, our holy high place. Inheriting that land is the land of the New Jerusalem, the land of eternity. And then this is the one that we really need to dwell on. Let's read that one. When thou criest, let the companies, or your associates, deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, and this is what that one that is saved shall say, cast you up. I can't read the next word because my Bible is missing a piece. It's what casts you up, what happens next?
Prepare the way,
okay. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. This is what each one of us is called to do. The stumbling block is the ridiculous concept of self-seeking, self-getting. That's the stumbling block, because it is the fruit of the fall. So we must, if you have any integrity, if you have any concern for your loved ones or your associates, you must, this is what you must, cast the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Stop letting people think in terms of self-seeking and think in terms of faith alone. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to prepare the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Next few verses are the savior from all this, but the last two we read too. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him unto his mourners. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I've seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lip, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. So the wicked one are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked one. And that's what it says in Hebrew, the wicked one. Aren't you tired of that whole scene yet? Anybody's response to any of it? Everybody understand that?
For me, the fulcrum of this reading is 13. He that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, inherit my holy mountain. It's like all this.
But it is in Hebrew, it's emphatic. He that putteth his trust in me now. He that sees the emptiness and vanity of the world system. He that is tired of being a friend of the world. And tired, totally tired, trying to exist in that ridiculous place. It's an instantaneous now. Let's go to Revelation 17. Let's look a bit and see who our mother is. There, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me. Now, why are there seven angels that are doing all this? They increase in intensity what they're doing.
Time. I believe it's the time as it goes on.
It's the seven angels are the 7 days of linear time. No matter how many billions of years, it's only been 7 days from God's standpoint. And talked with me, saying unto me, come here, come up and look from the top down. That's what each of these seven angels are saying to us. Stop looking at the bottom up. Come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, again, that there's one verse we have to study to understand what that's many waters is, and it's verse 15. He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's the human race. That's why the seven mountains of the high places that are in your mind are the seven enemies that Israel had to destroy before they were allowed to go into the promised land. And those seven we're gonna take a side trip. Go to Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, and also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ was as a son over his own house. Whose house or temple are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And here's the kicker now about the power of that poor that sitteth on the seven mountains of our mind. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the wilderness, or in the provocation, in the days of thy temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, or put me to the test, proved me, I'm losing my capacity to see here for some reason.
When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved by that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
All right. Again, the whole of here is enter into the rest, enter into the rest. And you enter into the rest by seeing that Jesus Christ alone is the Sabbath day, and he is your only rest. There's a prophecy that was spoken of him in Luke, and I'm just going to go there. This is the shepherd priests. The heavens opened, and they saw. And suddenly, in verse 13, and suddenly there was with me, Luke 2, if you're interested, Luke 2, verse 10. Well, I went up against her. And there came in the same country shepherds, abiding in their field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a great a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, now this is what the King James says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a better translation is, the goodwill of God towards Messiah, towards men is Messiah, is glory to God and is the only peace on earth. Or in earth. Everything else leads you off and away from peace. Well, we'll finish Revelation 17 tomorrow. I've talked enough. Any response? Oh, that was a cough.
That's my response.
So everybody, that means your silence, everybody understands perfectly. Today, if you will hear his voice, enter into his rest. Can't serve God and mammon. Take it, Victor.